Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports in Depth, and show live. I'm about 50 miles from the equator, and as always, open to John Cole, thank you, Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day and ask that you have your way. All honor and glory to your name. And we say, dear Lord, thank you. A very special day. Give us so much love now, we want what we need. And we need you. Thank you for your blessings and the power. Of course, we have a right to hear about. That's our family, my friends. Name of your God and Jesus. The living Christ. Give me the Lord. God's family is flooding up. We're never going to go through the chance for that. The show, the crew should be coming around again just about pretty soon. And it has been a contrast to what it was like. Last week, it was just a tremendous Sunday. The Jets had come back over a second win, big win, showing some offensive power. But this week, it's different. Things have changed drastically. But what a difference a week makes. Looking for the gang to come pulling in momentarily. And we had a little early edition last week. We've done it a little later this week, and it's just been, wow. Some of the events that happened have been sort of startling. If we just want to put that in an amazing kind of way. I mean, you know, what a difference a week makes. Remember that song, What a Difference a Day Makes. My goodness. As it's there in Portuguese, me and you, I feel like sports up on the Blake. You remember the Rainbow Soul of Jail, Sports Never Shade Alive. From Fortaleza, Brazil, 250 miles away from the equator, they're coming in by horseback. Here we come. Oh, yeah. They're coming in slowly but surely. And, wow. You know, last Sunday, the Jets won a huge football game, not as big as the Giants had won. And then this Sunday, adios meals. We find that the Jets, and you know, with Philadelphia, you can kind of go pro and con with them. I mean, you know, when they're at their best, they can beat anybody, and we're not claiming anybody can beat them. But to have the Washington Redskins, come into Giant Stadium. And win. So I got the question for the crew. You know, I'm going to ask Lady A what happened last night and also her thoughts on, I think it's just a slaying, Julio Cesar Chavez Junior against Sergio Marveloso Martinez. I want to ask Dusty about this house arrest for Barry Bonds and then to turn around and find out, my goodness, that there's an NFL football player, who's selling cocaine, who's making $2 million a month. $2 million a month, and they have a double-digit list of people that he was selling the cocaine to, players. So we're talking about at least 10 names, at least 10 crimes, $2 million a month. It looked like the football season is all but over for the Giants and the Jets who play next week. So maybe whoever wins that will kind of be like a coup de boo-boo, a mercy killing for whoever is trying to make it. I mean, we look back. I don't know. You know, it's just, it's, like I said, I looked at my posse. I'm hoping somebody maybe can drop and give the Hoopster a call. Kobe Bryant's wife is filing for divorce. Barry Bonds is under house arrest. The Cowboys win last night. The Jets and the Giants lose today. And then it's an NFL football player who actually is a cocaine dealer. Moonlight is a football player. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake, you know, Rainbow Show, the channel. Sports Depth shows the OJs, the legendary OJs are coming. Media deals, as they said, but they're coming to Lehman College next month. You know, the OJs were actually named after the great DJ, Eddie OJ, who was their manager. And they started with five guys, and they cut down to three. And one of the members joined Sammy Spann, who later joined after one of the members became gravely ill. He joined the OJs. And they've been one of the great groups of all times. Money, 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 money. Used to be My Girl. Give the People What They Want, Love. Just a host of great songs. Love Train. What a great group they've been for a long time. I look at Eddie LaVerde, and whoever thought that his son But it's just a startling thing. I don't see Dusty here. We're going to start with ladies first. No, Co-Sellers. C-Wings, are you there with us?
C-Wings is here. Good evening to the panel and happy holidays.
Good evening. Same to you and the family.
Thank you.
And Lady A is here with us. So we got C-Wings, we got Lady A, we've got Mel Co-Sellers. Is Dusty here with us? Okay, Dusty should be tuning in pretty soon.
He's still looking for the mule.
Hey, no, you know what? We said he's looking for his ass.
Yeah. Well, Doc and panel, looking at the local football teams, I thought we found about as many asses as we needed for a day.
You know what? It's amazing. You know, it's just an amazing story, panel. And we're going to kick with you, C-Wing, because you're down in Philadelphia. It's just amazing. And you look at the games that should have been won. And we're talking about that Denver game. I mean, not that you can give a game away, but you look at the Denver game, it should have been won, which would have allowed us. And here's the amazing thing about this. The Philadelphia Eagles, with the Giants losing yesterday, and I talked to my man from Philly. Well, I may get him to come in here, my man Brian Punches. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles now at 6-8 can win the division if the Giants and the Cowboys, and the Cowboys can lose anybody. The Cowboys can lose to the CYO team. They can lose to a women's football team. The Eagles could be 8-8, and if they got themselves together, could wind up in Super Bowl. But this, I mean, you know, the game they had last week. Okay, C-Wings, you know, you said something last week, and you looked at it. I mean, we thought here at first that maybe Aaron Rodgers hadn't played. And you said, hey, all the Packers had to do was show up in uniform. But looks like after today's game, that's all they did was show up in uniform. And they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, you know, how do you lose to the Kansas City Chiefs? Every game is vital. I understand the fact that they're in. But, man, you know, in history, you don't have that many opportunities to have an undefeated record. I remember when Baltimore and Apples had the chance. And I mean, see, when you're down in Philadelphia, I mean, look, what's the mood in a Jet locker room, and right about now, I believe that their playoff chances are gone.
Well, I don't know where to start today, the Jets or the Giants. I guess I'll start with the Jets. What a dismal start to the game. I mean, when Santonio Holmes lost that fumble, I mean, it was like, here we go again. And the Jets just—they couldn't get going, and I mean, when I was at the game last week, when they played Kansas City, the first thing I asked Coach Ryan was he worried that Michael Vick was back at center, and he did say yes, that he's, you know, one of the best players in the league, and he showed it today. I mean, if you look at it, the Jets, just to give you some stats on possession alone, the Jets and Philadelphia were basically close. I mean, the total time of possession was 29 minutes and 59 seconds for the Jets, 30 minutes and 3 seconds for the Philadelphia Eagles. But what was the biggest, fact in the game is first downs. Philadelphia, they had 20 first downs. 9 were by passing. 10 were by penalty. Rephrase that. That was 9 by passing and 10 by passing and 9 by rushing. The Jets couldn't get anything going.
Hey, C-Wing, Sanchez.
He's okay. I mean, he was.
You knew he had to stick that in. I still see her face at that last Jet game. He had to stick that in. The franchise Sanchez, and she never want to let go. She's Lady A ain't letting it go. It's in the words of Harold Weston. And if anybody wants to drop off and give Dusty a call, come join us. But I mean, stand in touch. I mean, it's C-Wings. Okay, you started with the Jets, the Eagles. I remember when they played the Giants. They had that big drive, 8 minutes, 51 seconds, 6 for 6 on third down. Were the Eagles that good today? I remember talking to Brian Quinches here, and one thing he was saying is that, you know, a team shouldn't get beat by that much. I said, well, you know, so, on a given Sunday, one team is that much better. Were the Eagles that much better? And continue whatever synopsis that you had. I mean, you are our man. Were the Eagles that much better today, or the Jets just went flat?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, when you look at it, just starting off, you had Santonio Holmes lose that fumble. Then he lost a pass on a deflection, which resulted in a interception as well. I mean, the Jets in the first 20 minutes they were down 28-0. How do you bounce back from that? Being the Jets, I mean, he was sacked 4 times in the game. Wayne Hunter allowed two too many. I mean, that was just the Jets. They need a strong and athletic safety because obviously Eric Smith and Brodney Poole are not getting it done. I mean, the Jets were all off today in every category, even the defense, who has kept offense in the game in the past couple of games. They were off today as well. They gave us some big plays. The Jets were a mess today, 45-19. They were in the game at the first at the halftime, 28-13. But if you look at it, the Eagles scored in a majority of their possessions. They scored touchdowns. Touchdowns. They were much better than the Jets in the red zone. They outscored the Jets. The Jets made a lot of mistakes. Santonio Holmes is a big factor, losing the two passes, the one fumble, the one pass that was deflected. And to top it off, the pass by Sanchez to Holmes resulted in a penalty of a sportsmanlike conduct.
And how many interceptions did they have, C-Wings? How many interceptions?
Oh, my gosh. Forget about it.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry. Say something.
Lady A, will you hang on to me? Hang on for a boxing segment.
Oh, I'm sorry, C-Wings.
Hey, listen, since you asked the question, how many
possessions
did they have?
Asante Samuels took one from the Jets. Chaney had one. And, you know, those are the ones to take away. When you look at it, last week the Giants, the Jets didn't have any takeaways. They played good. They didn't turn over the ball. Sanchez, he wasn't sacked, right? This week, he was sacked 4 times. He had the 2 interceptions. It resulted in scores. If you lose the turnover battle, you lose the game.
Hey, C-Wiz, let me ask you a question. I know we were talking last week in a segment about, and Doc, can I just ask this question real quick?
You're the first lady. Lady A, all the way. No,
my question was more, I know like last week we were talking about the week before, we were talking about coaches getting released or getting they were getting rid of coaches. I know Coughlin was one that we discussed, but now with this situation with Andy Reid, I mean, do you see possibly a turnaround as far as the team goes? You know, them maybe looking at it again and seeing that, you know, hey, you know, let's give this guy another chance, or you think it's a done deal?
You know what? Andy Reid might have some life left in him.
Oh.
He's a good coach. He's been around a while. You have to give the team time to gel, to work together. But who knows what, you know, they seem to like him in Philadelphia.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? NFL also stands for not for long.
Right.
So anything can happen in any week, as you see with Kansas City beating Green Bay today. Anything's possible.
Right.
In the NFL. So, we were talking about North Turner and San Diego being fired. Even though that they're winning now, he still may be fired.
Mm.
He still may be fired.
There's a rumor, see, that I've been hearing about the possibility of the great Schottenheimer
yes.
going over to coach the Dolphins team.
That's your boy, Rooney. Just like my boy is Sanchez, bro. We're good.
All
right,
now,
everybody.
Lady A.
Maybe what they'll do, they'll send Sanchez with them to my
house. Hey, that'll be a great package deal. Can we get a bag of balls for Sanchez and Schottenheimer? Can we get it?
Oh, my goodness.
it seems you look at the play calling. They have no confidence in Sanchez, especially when they're deep, when they start deep in their own end zone. They just pass the ball off to Sean Green, pass it off, wildcat, pass it off. And he may throw one pass. He may.
This is something, C-Wings, it's funny that Doc Stanley Sports Depth on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports Depth in the show. And this segment of Sports Depth is brought to you by La Bella Italia, Restaurante Pizzeria here in Porto Alegre, Brazil, 250 miles away from the equator. I want to say hello to my man, Andrea, over there. Great service today. And it's considered by many to be not only the number one Italian restaurante in Porto Alegre, but talvez in Brazil. And went there today with my good friend Magla and Dilma and Amir Views. I cannot remember the two gentlemen's names, but we had a wonderful time. But played some great music. But I said that this portion was brought to you by La Bella Italia, Estamante Pizzeria. Brian.
Hey Doc, now that you're giving shout outs, I just wanna
Brian.
7-5 precinct in Brooklyn lost an officer this week. I just want to send my condolences to the family, being that he got shot in the face on the midnight this week. I just want to send my condolences to the family now for the holiday season.
You have a name? What's his name?
Do you know how to pronounce his name, C-Wings? I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Officer Peter Fogoski.
Fogoski?
I worked with him. Fogoski. I worked with him on a couple of occasions in the 7 years that I was assigned to the 7-5, and I might ask, I did happen to unfortunately be working the night that he was killed, and my condolences also go out to the family. I mean, it's near and dear to my heart as well. It's like I lost a family member.
We all do, and at this point in juncture, Sports Network will dedicate this show to his family. And in memory of him, an officer killed in the line of dinner of duty, and you know, inspector's funeral is something you never, ever want to see. I think people don't understand how underpaid a New York City police officer. You call it New York City's finest, and for years we've been just so vastly underpaid. And we cannot express our condolences. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, I am honored beyond what I can comprehend to have the likes of C-Wings, a New York City police captain, and the first lady, Lady A, lieutenant, myself, a former police officer, they don't understand the pride I have in them as police officers, as minorities, understanding what they have to go through to get where they are at, and the kind of rhetoric that Lady A is going through now and still finding time to be such an integral part of this show I love them dearly. I respect them dearly and have so much admiration and pride in them, as well as Mooney Investment Show, you know, Destino, also a retired fire lieutenant. You know, these things, I was telling somebody the other day, my man Brian Punch, is that they did a report, a story on me, the Guardians, and as of this day, I'm the only police officer in the history of New York City Police Department that worked with both of the female police officers that have died in the line of duty, Irma Lasada.
Irma.
I worked with Irma. I remember that day, clear as day, and Smitty at 9/11. So this show is dedicated to the memory of our fallen comrades. We'll make sure that Big C makes a copy, and we want to get this over to him and his family. It's something we...
Doc,
we
I also want to add, my condolences and prayers with Officer Fadowski. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Mm. Obviously, our prayers with, you know, his family and
it's a tragic loss,
and I just wanted to say to all of the fans of Sports In Depth, you know, worldwide, you know, that, you know, you really don't get the credit for the incredible job that you're asked to do. You know, it takes an awful lot of guts for somebody to rush into a place that everybody else is rushing out of. So I just wanted that to be known that, you know, we thank you all for your service.
Yeah,
thank
and
you.
We will, at this time, we will take a moment of silence. Gang, let's take a moment of silence, a silent prayer, and our fallen comrade. And let's just stop for a second and pray for him, his family, and for all others, the finest police department in the world. We're going to just stop for 10 seconds. Amen. Gang,
amen.
Move on, and people understand, you know, how tough it is that we talk about men who play a kid's game and don't give enough credit to men who do a giant of a job. You know, Giants, Sea Wings, as we continue to beat them, I mean, how do you win a football game like you did last week and you come around and the Washington Redskins, who've been run over, trampled, embarrassed by the Jets in Washington, and you get them at home, and you lose a game? I mean, the Giants haven't won but one game they had to win. And with this loss today, Seawings, the Philadelphia Eagles are grieving. I mean, because the Cowboys are going to lose. There's no doubt in my mind the Cowboys are going to fold. Big game last night. I mean, I can see the Eagles at 8-8, and I got my man Fuentes. I'm going to bring him in here in a minute. But they're 8-8. Do you know at 8-8 at 500, they will win the division, and with Vic healthy and the defense playing better. I mean, 2 weeks ago, Andy Reid was dead meat. 2 weeks ago, Coughlin was gone. Right now, he's probably going to be gone again. But, Seawings, how do you lose a football game like this at home against one of the inferior teams? And you just come up with a dramatic win. I mean, I was thinking, you know, of Mel Costello. I said, you know, I was touting. And I'm going to tell you something. Chris Collinsworth said something about your man last week, Mel Cosell, Jason Pierre-Paul. He said off last week's game alone, he makes first team All-Pro. And I'm shouting him Defensive Player of the Year. And I thought after win today, you know, you got to kind of consider Eli Manning as MVP. But your man, and we're going to go through Mel Cosell for a minute, your man Jason Pierre-Paul, I mean, you've been – for him all year long. He has done nothing to not validate your praises, Mel Cosell.
Well, Doc, I told you, and you're right, I've been singing his praises since the beginning of the year, and he's one of the only people on the defense, in my opinion, Doc, that consistently shows up to play, that plays in anger. I believe, like, and I think Sea Wings will probably, as usual, have all the stats. I think they had one Saturday, and I think that came from Jason Pierre-Paul, or JPP, as his teammates call
him. What a surprise. What a surprise that the one sack came from him. Excuse me, Rooney. What a surprise.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, but you know, Doc, you know, I knew this guy was going to be great. Really. He is going to be a great ball player, barring serious injury.
Rooney,
and if I were the Giants, indeed, I would try to, I certainly would offer him a, like a 5-year extension at about $7 million per, because that's going to be cheap if he has. I think he has another year or two. Sea would, of course, probably know better than I. I think he has another year or two left on his contract. And if I were the Giants right now, Doc, panel, I would certainly offer him something in the range of a 5-year extension at about $7 million per. Because if this guy goes on to the free agent market, barring serious injury, that's going to seem cheap. I knew this guy was a physical freak of nature, Doc, back in his rookie year when the players were talking about after a practice that the guy was actually just doing backflips all the way down the field, backflips. This coming from a 6'5", 275-pound end, and I'm like, backflips from a guy that size? Guys is a physical freak of nature. You know, Doc, the thing about Pierre-Paul, then I'll get off. I'm sorry?
This is the second week in a row that I've had one of my panel members become an agent. Dusty last week became an agent, and now here you are, Rooney, agent for Jason Pierre-Paul. All I want is my 10%, fellas. That's all. That's all I'm at. Give me my cut.
Yeah, but Doc, listen, why don't we do this? Why don't we take the money and give it to another backup quarterback, and maybe they'll put the backup quarterback in for Mark Sanchez, okay, when they need to put him in.
Anyway, somehow I think she's talking to you.
You know what?
No, but it's nothing. It's funny. That comment is nothing that Sea Wings and I have not discussed in the past.
But you know what? It's not also a matter of Mark Sanchez. I mean, he's thrown for over 8,000 yards in 3 years. When you have a veteran like Rex Grossman,
the coach
just had 9,000 yards in 9 years.
But the point is this. He gets sacked today, right? That would have been we were somewhat still in the game. That would have been a premier time for them to say, hey, you know what? Let's put Burnell in the game, take a couple of snaps, take him out, right? Let's see how if he fares a little bit better, okay, and get Mark Sanchez thinking. No, they leave him in the game. Oh, this is just great. Now we got a blowout. How many points did they get blown out by?
45-19.
While you have a chance, you and I have said that in the past, while we have a chance, why are we waiting till we're, like, in the hole to get this guy out? I don't understand. I don't understand. What's the purpose? And then, like you told me, C-Wings, why is this guy collecting a check on the sideline? Hello? McFly.
I have no idea why they would leave him there.
Hold tight. I've got my man from Philadelphia. You know, as the game went on, he kept telling me, Doc, it's 28-10, it's 35-10, it's 47-10. Brian Punches from Philly, and he's going to join us right now for a couple of minutes. Brian, Philadelphia looked pretty good today, didn't they?
Yeah, they did look good, but it might be a little too late.
Philadelphia, though, you tell me something that's quite amazing. They can go 8-8, 500, and you know, with Green Bay losing today, and Dallas is always suspect, the Giants lost, you guys in Philly are feeling kind of good, aren't you?
Well, again, remember, Philadelphia is called Negadelphia for a reason. I don't think anyone is really starting to believe yet. Although, a few years back, all the things broke right when Donovan McNabb was the quarterback and we snuck in the playoffs, back into the playoffs. So there's always a chance, you know, and as a fan, you hope so. 2 weeks ago, everyone was hoping they would just lose out and start a new coaching regime, but stranger things have happened. And, you know, so I'm going to root for them. But again, as a educated fan, it's going to be a tough road to get there. It's still clearly in the hands of the Cowboys now, so we'll see.
Last question. How much has it meant to you guys in Philly? I mean, you know, Young did a great job while Vic was out. He's back. I mean, how did he look today? Did Vic look like the old Vic to you? And how much has he meant coming back to this club, you know, when they were able to, like, tread water? I mean, they look good today on both sides of the ball, Brian.
Yeah, well, as Vic goes, so will the team. But Vic looks good today. I got to disagree with you, though. Vince Young was below average when he filled in for Vic. He was awful. He had the one game where he generated the win, but lots of interceptions. He's definitely not a starting quarterback at this stage. But with Vic, with the healthy Vic, yeah. But that's always been the question with Vic: can he stay healthy? And so far, no. He hasn't played a full season with the Eagles, and he's lost a lot of games with the Falcons. So as Vic goes, so will the Eagles. So we just have to wait and see, and at least it'll be exciting down the stretch.
Hold on, T-Wings, any questions for the man from Philly?
Well, I think Philly is in it. They can. I mean, they have to play the Cowboys next. In the way that they look today, they could beat the Cowboys. And then the Cowboys have the Giants. So, you know, it looks like the Giants got swept by Washington in the series. But the Giants seem to be able to beat Dallas, and Dallas seemed to crumble. So, I mean, I have to agree with them. They played well today. They have some hope. You look at a team like Denver, who was down in the beginning of the season, and they came back. The way that the Giants played, they can lose it all as well. And you have a team like Philly come up with Michael Vick playing the way he played today, mobile, throwing the ball. I mean, he played spectacular. I mean, with over 100, what is it, 106 rating today? I think he did pretty well. Looks like the old Vic.
Mel Cosell, man from Philly. Any questions for him?
I just want to ask the man from Philly. Excuse me, pardon me. I just want to kind of ask the man from Philly, with this, I don't know, resurgence of Vic, I'm wondering if with his particular football style and the fact that, you know, he will take off with the ball in a moment's notice, if you think that he can stay healthy enough to make any noise in the playoffs, should they reach that? Because, you know, it's always tough when you have a quarterback that, you know, dares to run in the NFL.
Well, the problem with Vic, why he gets hurt, is because he plays reckless. In other words, he thinks that he's a running back when he takes off with the ball, and he's not afraid to take a hit, which is, you know, much to the chagrin of the coach and the fans, because we all cringe and say, all right, when's he going to break his collarbone? When's he going to break his ribs? Because we now expect that something bad's going to happen to him when he takes off. And he will not change his style. He's been coached to, but, you know, I get that. That's what makes him great, but that's also what makes him the greatest risk.
And not only that, but you're right in the fact that, you know, he's not a huge guy for a quarterback. I mean, it's not like he is 6'5", 250, 255 like a Roethlisberger.
No, he is. He's not a big guy. No, he's very, very quick, very agile, very instinctive when he's running. But, again, yeah, because of his small frame, as you said, he's susceptible to one big hit and being taken out of the game, out of the potential playoff picture. So let's hope that, as a fan, you hope that he doesn't get hurt. But also, as a fan, selfishly, yeah, I think you want him to keep going so they can make that drive and get to the playoffs. But as long as he plays smart, plays within himself, I just like to see him protect himself a little bit better for his own sake, too.
Consensus, gang. Next week, Cowboys and Philadelphia Eagles. Who wins that game, Looney?
Oh, you would give that one to me, wouldn't you, good doctor? You know, I don't know, Doc. I come back and forth. I mean, like I said, you never know with Romo and the Cowboys, which Cowboys are showing up. Like I said, then again, I have my suspicions about Philly and how they're going to look. Like you said, Vic looks something like the Vic of old today. And as good as they look, just rolling over the New York team, I don't know, anything could be happening. We might be in store for some fireworks between those two teams next week.
Give me a winner and quit acting like Dusty. Who you picking?
I'm sorry, what was that, Doc, now?
No. I need a winner. Who wins that game next week?
Well, I'm just going to go out on a limb, and since Romo is always suspect in my mind, I'm going to give the edge to Vic and Philly.
Sea Wings, Eagles and Cowboys next week. Who does it?
Philadelphia 27, Dallas 24.
Lady A, you got to have your say.
I want to go with Philly.
That's it. I think it's done. Lady A picks it. Now, I've got, who else is with us now? Is Harold Watson with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Harold.
Yes.
The first man of boxing. Doc Stanley, Sports Dev for the Blake, with another Rainbow Soul Channel. Sports Dev for the show, live from Porto Alegre, Brazil. My man from Philly. And we want to thank Brian Funches for joining us. The man from Philadelphia. Eagles look good. We're going to talk. Okay, Sea Wings. I think officially, it's over for the Jets and the Giants. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Nope. Believe it or not, it's not. This upcoming game is probably the most important, the highest. It's a rivalry, a lot of emotion. They're both playing for their playoff lives. Actually, with today's loss in Oakland, who lost in the last few minutes of their game against Detroit, Detroit beat them 28-27, it drops the Jets into a tiebreaker with the Cincinnati Bengals. So they are still alive. They have to win both games. Whoever loses this upcoming game on Christmas Eve, you could basically put them out of the playoff hunt. So this is a very, very important game for both teams. The Jets or the Giants, they need to win to keep their playoffs hopes alive. It's going to be a lot of emotions, but they're still in it technically.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Lady A and Bunches will be, Lady A and C will be the next week live for that game. We'll have the results. We'll know by Christmas. The next week will be Christmas Day. So C Wings and the First Lady of Sports will be there. December 27th, a year ending final right here on the Blake Radio Network. Issues, everything. Anything, everything that gets with Joe Frazier from a sports perspective. We'll talk about anything and everything. The panel will be here. The CEO of Blake Radio, the incomparable Neil Blake, and the First Lady of Radio, Richa Shula. They will be hosting a year-ending show. We want to once again thank Brian Funches for joining us. And as I said, this portion of Sports Desk is brought to you by none other than La Bella Estaya Restaurante. That's how you say it in Portuguese. Pizza delivery is 3219-2166. Don't call that number in New York. It's not going to come, okay? And we want to thank my man, Andrea, who was very good for us. Jets, Giants, and Legends this time, man, adulation this week. It's amazing because, you know, the Giants were such a great position, where they played all their remaining games, even the road game, at home. It's Christmas Eve. Next week this time, Santa Claus will have delivered a gift from somebody, and Santa Claus will say sayonara to somebody else. Doc Daly, Sports and Death on the Blake, Rainbow, Rainbow Soul, the channel, Sports and Death Show. See, Wings, you said that all the Packers had to do was put on a uniform and the practice team of Kansas City. Evidently, you didn't tell Kansas City that, did you?
I think Kansas City got fired up, especially after the shellacking that they endured at the hands of the Jets last week. But if you look at it, Kansas City is not – it's something about that team. I mean, they're the team that can beat you on any given Sunday. It just happened to be –
No, I mean they're not an easy win. They're not
okay.
The Colts right now, but I mean, like I said, anything in the NFL, any given Sunday, I mean, it can happen. I mean, you look at the New England Patriots; they actually went undefeated throughout the whole season, you know, all the way up into the Super Bowl, and they lost it. So, I mean, at the hands of the Giants. I mean, I wish we had that team now.
You know, see, it's funny you said that. Me and Brian were at a party, and Brian said, "Doc, I got two scores for you." And it was two scores I didn't want to hear. I mean, I was like, you know, I found out that I was in Switzerland. I thought I was in Brazil, and I found today I was in Switzerland. In fact, I found out Wednesday I was in Switzerland, and that's a long story in itself. But he said, "Doc, I got two scores for you. Giants losing to Washington, and the Packers losing to Kansas City." And I said, "What?" And I said to him, and Brian can dovetail on that in the words of the great man working, Marion Beep, working, black, bodacious, brilliant, and above the greatest boxer in the history of mankind. And I said, "You know what, Brian, on any given Sunday," and this is why you are head and shoulders above your contemporary. In fact, you have no equal, C-Rings. And you're right. On any given Sunday, you know, anybody can beat anybody. And it showed today. I mean, the beating that the Redskins took last week against the Giants, and then the Washington Redskins to come into New York City and win that game, and then here the Green Bay Packers running roughshod over everybody. One thing about their defense, when you needed to score, they stopped you, and they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. Chewing, you're on the money, man. I mean, you know, any given Sunday, it can happen. Your feelings, your thoughts, who wins this game next, the Giants or the away team, but they're home. And I like the intensity of an away team when they come into another team's venue. But in this case, they're coming home. Will really the fact that they're still home, will they not have the intensity, will they not have the focus that they need to beat the Jets, and with the Jets coming home, your man, and nobody is closer to Coach Ryan than you are, what will Coach do to ensure a victory that will keep the Jets, you know, in the playoff hunt? I mean, who wins this game and why?
I mean, I think, you know, the Jets are off tomorrow. It's a shortened week. You know, it's Saturday instead of Sunday. They're really going to look back at the problems that they had in today's game and really work on it. I mean, it's execution and it's ball retention. Execution in the red zone, especially in ball retention. You cannot, I don't care if you're Aaron Rodgers and you turn that ball over like they did today, you lose the game. And it's going to be the battle of who wants it more and who retains that ball. Ball control, execution. I mean, historically, if you look at the Giants, even when they won the Super Bowl against the Buffalo Bills, they weren't a high-scoring team. I mean, the Giants always prided themselves on defense. But we saw it today. I mean, I don't know. I mean, being down 17-3 in the first half, is that the Big Blue we know? I mean, you know, the last time they really took a beating like that is when they lost in the Super Bowl against Baltimore. So it's going to come down to ball retention, red zone execution. It's hard to call this one. I mean, you look at Eli Manning; he puts up good numbers in passing. They still lose. But I always said when the Jets play Washington, it wasn't going to be an easy game because they're a physical team. Physical team. Whether they have a winning record or not, I mean, they can. A team like that can really play spoiler, and they did it today.
Okay.
First of all, Steve Williams and Doc and Lady A, Harold, they look so bad, both of the local teams, that I'm not even going to bother to make a prediction on this game because they both look so atrocious. Watching these two teams for a moment, I thought somebody left the gate open at the retired players' home. I mean, I just could not believe
like
what I was
playing
like,
the match.
I don't know how you can come out flat it's bad enough to lose the game to teams that you should beat. That's one thing. But to come out not even ready to play in what is essentially basically a playoff game for you, there's no excuse for that. How do you come out not fired up, not ready to play for what is essentially a playoff game?
Yeah, it's inexcusable.
Whose fault is that? Is it the players? Well, I mean, because Coughlin said one time, you know, he said when the team lose, it's the coach. Is this the coach? Are not the players supposed to have some sort of pride? Or not the players supposed to have some sort of intensity? Or not the players supposed to have some sort of intellect of how important this football game is? Whose fault is this? Are we faulting the coach? Or are we faulting the players?
Well, Doc, it's my personal opinion that it's enough blame to go around, all the way around. As the coaches,
Rudy, you know what? I'm going to vote you for our next mayor. I like your stuff. There's enough to go around, Rudy?
All the way around, Doc. All the way. First of all, it's the coach's job to have those guys ready to play when they step out on the field, snarling and ready to rock and roll, okay? However, they don't throw the ball and they don't catch the ball.
Yeah, but
Rooney,
just to add to what you're saying and not to interject anything, but, you know, another point that I think we're failing to see is especially with the Jets, they've been struggling for most of the season with their offensive line. I mean, these guys are just—they're just going right through these guys. I mean,
what planet is he from?
Yeah, you
how
know, like
this guy get into the NFL, Wade, you know, Hunter. I think, you know, something, Doc, I think he should change professions and maybe take up hunting. He should be a hunter, but not the type that's on the football field.
They've been struggling with it all season. It's like, okay, I gig on Mark Sanchez, yeah.
88, you know, you are frightening. You are frightening because, you know, you're supposed to just have this intellect in boxing. But, you know, you interject to him, like, you know what, like Dusty, I got to watch you now. I got to watch you. I mean, you're touching all the bases. You're touching, I mean, you're so on the, and this is why I've Doc Stanley Sports Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel, wasn't there for the show, yet I'm bragging, I'm shouting about my peeps, because there's none better in El Mundo, the world, the planet. When they come to you, I'm coming to you with the superior of the group, Lady A, Sea Wings, Dusty, I hate to admit about Dusty, Harold Weston Jr., Mel Cosell. I mean, you just, no stone is unturned, and no venue, no subject can they, but last week, I mean, every week, there's something broken to you that was never been, you hear it here first, and we can never, ever forget that it was Sea Wings who told the world about Bin Laden being taken down. Harold Weston, every week, tells you something that only the insiders know. Lady A, WWF star, Rooney, Little Coco. So, you know, when you listen to Sports in Depth, not only do you hear the latest, but you're indoctrinated with history. And you, I remember what Brian Taylor said about Julius Erving. And I say this about my crew. He said, I always watch Julius because I know that I'll see something that I've never seen before. And when you tune into Sports in Depth, when you hear my peeps, you hear something that you have never heard before, first and foremost. And understand, these people are dealing under venues. I mean, we're talking about a police cat. We're talking about a police lieutenant. We're talking about Harold Weston Jr., who's putting together the greatest boxing show. I mean, Harold has been doing this for a long time, not to mention he's a former world champion. Well, you know what? Once you're the champ, you're always the champ. You know, and you can understand how much it hurt us when Joe Frazier left. I remember Harold calling me that Saturday, Doc, have you heard of him? No, we weren't talking about a fighter. We were talking about a friend. You know, and you know how much that meant to me for Harold Weston to be calling me. I remember Harold Weston told me it was a snowy winter day. And we were down there, and he said, Mel, I'd only do this for you and Joe. They are the best. Not of their time, but of all time. And when you tune in to Sports in Depth, you know, it ain't Doc Stanley. It's the truth. And it's the true truth. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, Blake, with a little rainbow song, Sports and Death is a show. I'll say it slowly. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, from the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports and Death is a show. This portion of Sports and Death is brought to you by live from Costa Laser Brazil, 250 miles away from the crater, La Bella Adaya, Restaurante Pizzeria. And once again, shout out to my man, Andrea, and the crew there for a great evening we had today. And it wasn't that good in New York City. We're going to talk boxing in a little while. We're hoping maybe somebody who wants to drop off and give Dusty a call, tell them to join us. The news this week, it's Barry Bonds under house arrest, Kobe Bryant's wife filing for divorce, Giants and Jets losing, and an NFL player selling $2 million a month cocaine dealer. The guy's a cocaine dealer masquerading how as a football player, $2 million per month, and selling to football players, Harold.
Well, it's just that young youth that still think they're still in the street on the corner, and now they made a little money. Now they want to be the big kingpin in the block. They haven't got that out their system, and that's what's wrong with these young guys today. They still think they're on the block. They don't know when they enter that different league and the money that they're getting as athletes, they should try to weed off a little bit from, you know, from what the life they were trying to live before, what they wanted to try to live, and that's all it is. Wanted to try to live. I mean, it's just stupid for him to even think about even messing with any drugs, but to try to buy into it with the money he had earned from the league and then try to be a big heroin. I mean, it's just silly in a lot of ways. But that's what's happened to these young men out here today that's making this money so early in their lives. They don't have no mentors and people that they can really talk to give them some real good advice and tell them how to go in the right direction with themselves. I mean, you know, people that did wrong, I mean, Joe Kennedy did wrong, but, you know, he made money in a certain way so he could get his family right and get certain things right in his life. But you don't do it just to be doing it after you already got money. That's, you know, it's just stupid. It's just stupid.
But, you know,
I mean, Harold is right, though. Harold is right. I mean, we've talked about it a lot, too, with boxers, how it's affected boxers. Harold said how there's been times where he's seen guys that are, you know, they're really great fighters, and all of a sudden they get that money, they get the entourage going, and it's a wrap. They start getting involved in drugs.
Yeah.
No?
But let's not forget Jamal Lewis.
Yeah, and Harold, if the allegations are true, that's just plain greed. I understand that if the allegations indeed are true, I understand that this person just signed, what was it, T-Wing? You probably know, what, a $5 million deal and got a $1 million signing bonus? If that is indeed the case, then that is just plain greed. Just plain greed.
Well,
how much do you need? How many cars can you drive?
Yeah, it's just greed, but like I said, it's still that mentality that they have when they were growing up and they lived in the neighborhood. You know, you ain't dealing with young guys coming. They went to college, but where they came from, where they was born in the ghetto.
That's right.
So they watched all these other guys, the hustlers and everything, making money in drugs, so they couldn't do it because they didn't have the money or the cash flow to do it. So as soon as they made it to the big league, the first thing they thought about when John was the big hustler in the street, he wanted to try to out-top John. And that's where the whole thing comes in at. Instead of getting it out of his system, realize he's in a better position, he goes right back to try to be the big boy again. You know, it's stupid. It's just stupidity, and that's the whole thing about it. It's just stupidity.
Well, Harold, can I shoot a term at you, Harold? That's sad and touching.
Most definitely. It is.
Yep.
It really is.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't make no sense at all. But I mean, that's what's wrong with the young generation. Your father, your mother, nobody that you knew made $1 million. You sign a $5 million contract. You get a bonus of $1 million, and then the first thing you do is go out there and try to buy some drugs. That is the most stupidest thing in the world.
But you have to look at it also too, Harold, and I have to agree with you. You look at you go back 25 years, 20 years. Len Bias, first round pick. He was drafted by the Boston Celtics. His way of celebrating is to go out and put some cocaine up his nose. I mean, they don't value the blessings that they have. I mean, what is it? Less than 1%. of college students actually make it to the pros.
Yeah, but
that is astounding.
Yeah, but see, like I'm saying to you, these kids are coming from another part of the world that we all know about, and that's the ghetto. And so basically they don't have that mentor to say, don't do that. You're now in the big league. Stay away from that. And that's what you got. And anything in life, you got to train for it. Anything in life, you got to train for it. And if you're not training for success and knowing how to deal and accept success, you're not going to be successful. It's simple as that. If you still got the mentality of just being a ghetto guy, speaking stupid, talking stupid, doing stupid things, you're going to keep doing stupid things. Good example, Mike Tyson. Guy can't say no more. $300 million, still had a ghetto man attitude, and kept it going until he got dead broke. Same thing.
You also have to look at players like Jamal Lewis. He also got caught dealing cocaine.
Right.
Back in 2004. Right. I mean, these guys, they don't realize.
Dude, how about Ray Caruth?
I mean, let's look at our situation. Michael Vick. Now, we know that, you know, animal cruelty is against the law and everything else. I mean, here he is. He's an outstanding player, and he's got a dog pounding on his land. Well, I mean, how stupid can you be?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, you have that much money.
Right.
Just think, you know, this is where I think it's another thing of that they come from a ghetto. They have a ghetto
mentality.
They don't have a business aspect because,
as we know,
everything in America is business oriented. Sports, religion, everything has some sort of business aspect, and they look at it as the money gives them wealth. That's not what gives you the wealth.
Well, let me say this. When you get, I don't care who you are. When you get $2 million or any kind of money like that, you are in business. You automatically in business because you're not getting $2 million because you're looking pretty and because you speak well. You're getting $2 million because you can perform. You are a businessman. Now, what you do with that money is on you, but you are in business. Now, you should take that money that you're in business with and try to spread it out to secure your situation. But these guys don't know how to do that because they want to. You got to understand. This that man ego. He wants to be the big cheese. He wants to be known. He wants to be powerful. He wants to be tough. He wants to be all the things instead of just being who he is, a football player. Be a superstar and make your money and keep on going. But no, he don't want to do
anything. Not only do you speak the truth, but come on, we all know what it's like in the hood or to be from the hood or whatever, okay?
Right.
So that's no excuse. The deal is this, all right? Well, like Howard said, when you're making that kind of money, the join the Millionaires Club, you are a corporation, all right? So you're supposed to be dropping that hood mentality,
Once
you're making $1 million a year plus, you are a corporation, all right? And
you're
supposed to think as such.
You can't do it if you ain't been teaching yourself or somebody's been teaching you and you've been training for it. You can't do it. I don't care who you are. They always can give it. They gave Mike Tyson $300 million. If you don't have the schooling and the knowledge to control yourself or have somebody that's going to be behind you to help you control yourself to learn how to maintain this money and maintain yourself, then you're going to do stupid things because all you know is what you've been doing all these years.
Yep.
And that's what people don't understand. Because you got $300 million, going to make you a genius. You're not a genius because you got $300 million.
That's correct.
Still stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But
they don't know how to separate
the hood from, how can I say it, from their persona. I mean, you become, like you said, you become marketable.
The first and only African American matchmaker in history, Madison Square Garden,
Let's take a break. Let's come on back here for a minute, and we'll be talking more sports on Doc Stanley Sports Desk on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel, Sports Desk, the show live from Philadelphia and from Nueva York. Don't nobody move. Don't nobody say another word. The OJs are coming to town, baby. Oh, yeah. And thank our lady Leah over at the Lehman College. But without further ado, I bring to you our Uncle Dave.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Show, Sports in Depth, the show. As we are bringing the posse here, here they come, my crew, on horseback. The first lady of sports, Lady A, the one and only Mel Cosell, Harold Weston Jr., where is Dusty at tonight? But also, she wins the only mind of his kind in the NFL. We're hoping the Booster would join us. Kobe Bryant's wife is filing for divorce. House arrest for Barry Bonds. It seems to me, Mel Cosell, that this thing has been personal. This thing has been racial. When you look at the fact that Mark McGwire is the batting coach for the world champion Cardinals, and now they've got Barry Bonds, who's yet to be validated a user. And you know, the guy was blackballed for 2 years, Rooney. He was blackballed for 2 years in baseball. He's under house arrest. And McGwire is a batting coach for the world champion Cardinals. Rooney?
Well, Doc, I think this whole Bond thing, quite frankly, it's my personal opinion now, much ado about nothing. I mean, if the guy, I mean, if he has in the past, and I still don't know if that's absolutely been proven, but if he's had dealings in regard to, you know, or have taken the performance-enhancing drugs, okay, maybe that's back in his playing days. However, I understand that this conviction, if you will, is supposedly for either lying or not being completely honest with the grand jury. All right, so he gets house arrest, community service, blah, 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 whatever the case may be. I really didn't think it was a offense that he deserved to get, you know, any jail time for, and he didn't. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, that's the crux of the matter. All right, he may or may not have used performance enhancers. I really don't know. And at this point, I really don't know who cares. The fact of the matter is, they say that he wasn't quite honest with the grand jury. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But I really don't see this as being really, you know, a jailable offense. I really don't. I don't see what purpose it would serve.
No, it reminds me so much of the Mann Act, implemented against Jack. You know, it's amazing how our government will go out of its way to get a black person, African American, to the term a nigger. it's amazing. You know what I mean? The Mann Act implemented solely to put Jack Johnson in jail. And now this house arrest, I mean, Barry Bonds' trainer was incarcerated. I mean, and it tells a lot that a white guy would go to jail and say what I said was telling the truth. The case against Barry by the government and the ordinary amount of money that was spent. The guy, trainer's wife and mother-in-law was harassed by the government. And it seems that it's always amazing what our government will do when it comes to dishonoring us. It's startling. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Network. Barry, and I remember one thing that was said a long time ago. They said, you know, the big Barry was as good as the little Barry. And a friend of mine said, you know what? If Barry did use the drug, he said, what happened is, you know, Barry wound up using it and was better than anybody else at it. Because I've always said that Jason Giambi was only caught because they were trying to get Barry. That was the bottom line. And then they wanted Jason to be quiet because, okay, we got you. And I'll never forget, all Jason Giambi and Pettit had to say was they were sorry. And it's like they never had. And actually, I mean, when Roger Clemens and it was Gary Sheffield said, you know, it's amazing that they're talking about this enhancement. And it was, and you, Rooney, you know, as our man, late Russ, who talked about this years ago, and it was the pitchers that brought steroids into baseball, and yet nobody questioned how Roger Clemens was just zipping along at his advanced age. And Sheffield said,
and not only that, but to this day, he has the nerve to still be in denial. To this day, Roger Clemens is in denial about this whole thing.
But no, Ronnie, it's that great line by the great Don King. He says, a black man can tell the truth and it be deemed as a lie, and a white man can tell a lie and it be deemed as the truth. And here Barry is lying, and Clemens is telling the truth. And to Roger's defense, Roger has always been a guy that got along with African American players. And I know when I did my Jackie Robinson piece, you know, Clemens was one of the first, you know, stood up, talked about what Jackie did for baseball and the profound effect he had on the game, and he spoke. And one of the problems Clemens had was that Clemens was a guy that got along with African Americans and wasn't hung up into what color you were, as he was in the great words of Dr. King. He was more concerned about the content of your character. But it's amazing where an African American can tell the truth. O.J. Simpson, in America, you're innocent to prove guilty. Juice was guilty to prove innocent, and then after innocent, was still guilty. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake. We have another Rainbow Soul Channel. Sports Network is a show. The crew is here. We're talking everything, basketball, football, Barry Bonds, house arrest, Kobe Bryant's wife fighting, filing for divorce. I don't know where the hoops is tonight. Lady A is here. Lady A, it seems to me. Now, what happened to that fight last night? Andre Ward and Cross. You got the final on that, board?
Yeah, Andre Ward won the fight. He used a different style this time around in the fight, though. I mean, I was kind of impressed with how he decided to fight Carl Froch, kind of fought him in the middle of the ring. I mean, a lot of clinches in the fight, you know, because there was a lot of infighting. But I think what won the fight for him was he was just hitting him with a lot of left hooks, just hitting him with overhead, like right hands. And he was just entirely too much for Carl Froch. It just seemed like he was a lot faster. Carl Froch seemed like he got like a lot bigger for this fight. I mean, he just, like, looked a little more muscular. He was just a lot slower in this fight. I hadn't seen that from him in most of the fights I saw. But he ended up getting the decision, and Andre Ward became the champion.
Now you picked Ward. Now, Ward is the winner of this middleweight.
Yeah, he's the official winner, right? Of the Super Six. He's the official winner of the Super Six, yeah.
Now, what has happened to our man who was undisputed middleweight champion of the world? He beat Bernard Hopkins twice. Jermaine Taylor, I mean, is he fans with
Hopkins? He started off the Super Six, and he was beaten. I think it was Mikel. Am I wrong with that, Rooney? I think it was Mikel Kessler. Was it Mikel Kessler that beat him?
You know, I'm not sure. I know Kessler was in it, lady.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'm having.
Well, I might either be Kessler or Arthur Abraham. I don't remember if it was Arthur Abraham or Kessler that beat him. I mean, it was just disgusting the way he lost that fight. I think he lost it in like the last round and a half.
Seconds, last 5 or 6 seconds. Both fights he lost in less than 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that they call it a super championship and nobody knows the guy's name and know who fought him and all that stuff?
Let it flow, Harold. Let it flow, baby.
You call it a Super 8 or whatever. I guess they're supposed to be the greatest 168-pounders out there and everything,
right.
But nobody remembers their name and don't even know who beat
who
and everything.
Well, you know, it's funny, like, you know, just when you listen to some of the things like Harold says, like, you know what Harold's always been saying, like, you got these European fighters coming here now, and about half of the guys were from other countries. They weren't even from the U.S.,
Yeah.
You know,
well,
right? Am I right, Harold? Right? You had Darrell, right? You had Darrell that started off with him.
Yeah.
You had Ward.
Yeah. I mean,
Taylor.
The whole thing. Yeah. But I saw the fight last night. It was the most boring fight I've ever seen. And
it really was.
I mean,
yeah.
It was like I said, it was a lot of clinches. I was just kind
of
like
a joke.
Yeah. He fought him in the middle of the ring, which is weird.
Harold, stop being so modest, Harold. The reason that we knew all of your names, you and Sugar and Tommy, and it is quite frankly because y'all could fight.
That's the reason why when people are moving away from boxing because of the fact that these guys cannot fight and they don't know how to fight. I mean, what you got?
He just looked so much faster than him, and then it was like a lot of clinches in the middle of the ring. I was surprised he even fought like that because normally he fights the way he fights guys and then he sticks and moves, and it was just weird, like how he decided to fight that kind of fight with him.
Yeah, well, let me just say, there was two guys, and don't get me wrong, Ward has got a lot of talent. He's got a lot of talent. He just don't have a good trainer. His trainer hit the wall. You understand what I'm saying? He hit the wall. He doesn't know no more to teach the kid to be a better fighter.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like Jermaine Taylor. Jermaine Taylor was a great fighter and a great athlete. He had all the skills in the world. What happened was his trainer hit the wall, and he didn't know how to teach the kid no more, and when somebody caught up with him, his style, that's when he started getting beat and getting knocked out. And
right.
So basically, that's what happens to a lot of kids. Instead of bringing somebody, a reinforcement into the training camp to give you some more lessons and give you some more teaching in the sport so you can get better each time you go out. These guys got an ego that they think they're the greatest trainers of all time instead of going in there and getting some other people to help them out. To teach them, the kids, some more offense, defense, or whatever they're trying to do to make the kid a better fighter, and that's the sad point about the sport today.
Let me ask this question, just quickly. How is there anybody that you see on the scene right now, or any kid that you've seen and said, if I had that kid, he'd be a world champion? Is anybody that you can see that you would mold out, that you say, you know, if I could school that kid would be making some noise in the division or future champion?
There is a kid. There's a kid that fought on two of my shows down in Florida, and he's a Golden Glove champion here in New York, a white kid, a Jewish kid. And he showed me more style and guts than any fight I have seen in a long time. And the reason why I said that, because his last fight I put him in there, I put him with a kid. And I'm telling you, the other kid was 3-0. He was 4-0, okay? And they fought a 6-round fight. The other kid was a southpaw, and not a bad southpaw. When I'm saying not bad, I mean not bad, a southpaw. He beat the dog out of this kid the first 2 rounds. But you know what? The kid didn't give up. The kid kept trying and trying to get close to this guy. And when he finally got close to this guy and started hitting this guy, then you saw the table turning. But the kid was still fighting back. I'm saying 6 rounds from round 1 to 6, they fought. But what I'm saying is he won the fight. But you know how he won the fight? By 1 point.
Really?
And the kid that he was fighting, the southpaw kid, came from Florida. Okay.
Wow.
So he was the best kid I've seen that if I got involved, that would be the kid I would want to train. Because he's disciplined, he's determined. Because he did not get tired of blowing that whole time in that 6th round. And that was very impressive. And he was getting the dog beat out. He lost the first 2 rounds like way. You could have called the first 2 rounds 8-10-8 the way the kid
was. Wow, 10-8.
Yeah,
wow.
That's how bad he beat him in the first 2 rounds.
Wow.
So that's what I'm saying. That's the talent I look for. I look for kids that got a lot of guts, train hard, do the right, don't complain, and just do what he's got to do. And they won the best fighter of the night. Those are the kids we gave $500 a piece to. So we give your best fighter tonight. We give $500 a piece to both fighters.
Doc Stanley, Sports Zip from the Blake the Rainbow Show. 10 Sports Zip show live from Fort Delays of Brazil. Closing minutes. We've got Lady A, you know, and Sergio Martinez Mabaluso is a guy that we're close to. This is a class act, cutting the mold of Harold Weston, Ali, and Joe Frazier. And as you know, they've made Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. The mandatory. And the way I see this, Lady A, they're throwing this kid to the wolves. There's no way in the world he's going to beat Sergio Martinez.
He could always bring his father to the fight to help him fight. I mean, I don't think he's going to beat Sergio Martinez. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, what they're doing, they know they're going to make a lot of money. That's one thing. And the other thing, what they're looking at is the fact that he's taller than I don't think he'll beat Martinez either. But looking at the fight itself, it's a big draw. If the kid loses the fight, I mean, he's not going to lose his credibility, but he's going to probably pick up $4 or $5 million out of the deal. And that's what he's looking at.
Harold, looking at this kid, I mean, the last time I saw him fight, I mean, he didn't even have a decent straight right hand.
No, he didn't.
He can't even shoot a straight right hand with some kind of authority.
My point is they're cashing in. They know eventually somebody's going to catch up with them. And why not cash in and get the money now and get out of the way? If he gets lucky, let's say he gets lucky, then they can move on. But right now they're cashing in.
He shouldn't be
champion of the world. Look how he won the title. He took the title from Martinez and made him champion, made Martinez a super champion somehow, some bull. But that's the sad part about the whole sport. I mean, the sport had went down the drain when they make a decision in the ring, and then 5 days later or 2 weeks later they make a new decision, say it's a no contest, and the champion is still the champion. I mean, you know, the sport has went completely down the drain, and it has messed everybody up. And a lot of people don't like it. It's a sad situation. You got too many people involved in boxing. Too many people just coming out of the streets and from the corporate world that think they know boxing and just destroying the game.
Now, you being a former champion, you'd be in a great position to answer this. And I'll be brief, Lady A, because I know you got some other questions for Harold. But you know how being in a position like you, a champion who knows what it's like to be in huge fights with the Hearns and the Cuevas and the Benitez and all these guys. What happened on the football field today with the Giants and Jets, where basically they both had basically playoff implications,
right,
and not show up, not lose, not show up at all, like they're sunning themselves on the beach someplace. And Al, I noticed that at times what shocks me about certain title fights is here you are betting for a world title, and you know how important that is, at least to the purists like yourself and myself. And guys don't show up, Harold. How do you come in out of shape for a world title fight? How do you lose your championship on the scales that happened at the Margarito fight? How does that happen?
The fact is that you have really no trainers and no corner that really knows how to do it. These guys are just trying to get the money real fast. And the sad part about it, like I said earlier when we talked about, you know, having mentors, these guys don't have nobody that really is disciplining them and really that they're listening to. I had several people that was on my back, and I didn't want to hear their mouths, so I made sure I was in the gym on time. I made sure I ran, and I made sure I did everything they told me to do, okay? So that is the thing that you want in your life. When you have nobody that you're going to honor and that you're going to respect and that you're going to look up to, and even if you're a grown man, but you respect that person, you're going to do the right thing. And these guys today, as soon as they get into a position, they think that, like I said, they got fifth grade education, but they think they're college students because they're making $1 million. It doesn't work like that. And so you put them in charge of themselves when they can't take care of themselves. And that's what the problem is.
Speaking about showing up, Harold, I got to ask you a question. Did you fight a fight with the flu?
Yeah, I did.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's the fight you said. I'm only fighting Sal Mambi, so let me get out of bed, beat it for Sal, take some medicine, and come on back home.
Right.
Hey, right. Doc, C-Wing's back in. I just wanted to get ready to hit the road. I don't want to be on a cell phone.
Okay.
I just wanted to thank you for, you know, for being a friend, for being supportive, for your hard work and what you have produced here. I mean, the cast of knowledgeable people here. I mean, we must pay a lot of homage to yourself. You're very knowledgeable, and I told you from day one when I first met you, I was in awe at the knowledge that you have, not only in the sports world, but in life as itself. You're not only a friend, but you've been a mentor. It's been a pleasure. I mean, just the short, you know, time that we've been doing this, Lady A, Mel, Harold, Dusty. I just wanted to say it's definitely a blessing to be surrounded by good people like yourselves, and I just wanted to wish everyone a Merry Christmas to you and your families, out to the troops out there that are coming home from Iraq. The war is officially over. I just want to say I love you guys, and Lady A, you all are a blessing to be.
Well, hey, good old, baby. Same as said to you. And once again, we dedicated this show, and I am what I am through the likes of you, what you guys have brought to the show, the greatest African-American matchmaker history of boxing, Harold Weston Jr., yourself, the foremost knowledgeable NFL football mind, that's pro or college, Lady A, the first lady of boxing, period. None of us. Mel Cosell, no more need to say there. So the salutations, greetings, all blessings from God, because, you know, through others, I am somebody. And I'm always amazed by y'all sitting here with all these salutations, man. And you, the guys, you know, it's like a manager, man. I'm managing. And I was, you know, it ain't hard to tell Michael Jordan to shoot the ball. Ain't hard for Dr. J to run. Ain't hard to say Oscar Robertson pass it. It ain't hard, you know. And then I just thank you. Once again, you know, I told you personally what you've done for sports in Death here, taking us to heights unparalleled. I mean, we're live from Philadelphia. We've been live in Annapolis. We've been live from Pittsburgh. We've been live from New England. All because of
what she was bringing us to our panel, as you said, is unmatchable. I mean, what he brings is, you know, just the top of the line stuff. So, see, I again want to wish you and your family a happy holidays and a merry. And, you know, Doc, we really, really do have an awesome, awesome panel. But you are the star that stirred the drink. And the Sports in Depth Nation should really, really know that. We do have a really great panel, Harold, Lady A, Dusty, C-Wing, Hoopster. But you are the straw that stirred this drink. Don't never forget that, Doc.
Thanks, Doc. Well, thanks a lot, gang. This is all honor goes to God. And like I said, for your people joining the group, we missed us tonight.
Looking for
the ass, right?
I think he's having eggnog with Manny Ramirez.
Oh, yeah.
But listen, good night, everyone. Let me hit the road here before I get too late. I love you guys and Lady A. And
all right.
You all be well.
All right,
ladies.
All right. Right. All right. Listen, all right. In the closing moments here, we talked about the fight last night, Martinez and Chavez, the future situation. It's amazing that the Jets can still find themselves in a position to be in the playoffs. It's amazing that the Giants can lose a football game like they did today that was so important. And C-Wings talked about it. And Mel Cosell, who said, hey, man, you know, there's enough blame to go around. And the only guy that can't be blamed is your guy, Jason Pierre-Paul. What an outstanding football game last week. The Giants came up with the second week in a row with the two-point conversion that they needed. And then they turned around and won that game in Dallas. And there's a question. There's a lot of questions in my mind that the Cowboys are going to fold. I'm saying right now that the Giants and the Eagles are going to win that division. It's no question in my mind. And it may be the Eagles. And the Eagles kind of ebbing the way New England is. We may wind up with a New England and a Philadelphia Super Bowl.
And, Doc, I told you on the show last week, Doc, that that Green Bay, I know that EA disagrees with me on this, but I told you last week, Doc, that Green Bay will not repeat, that they will not win the Super Bowl this year. And the reason I had those thoughts, Doc, is not that Rodgers isn't just all world and probably wins the MVP hands down. But I'm just having a feeling, Doc, that, you know, it's not really that much, you know, what you do in the regular season, but who peaks at the right time. And I just happen to think that, you know, Green Bay, you know, just might have given it all that they have, you know, so far in this run, and that someone else, I'm really not sure who at the moment, is going to peak at just the right time.
Well, you know, I think with the football today is so exciting because you don't have those dominating teams like you did years ago.
Uh-uh.
And the teams going into the playoff, you know, with an 8-4 or with that kind of record, 8-8, you know, that's impressive because that tells you right there, everybody, there's nobody a dominating team. And that's what makes football the way it is today. I mean, people want to watch it because you don't know who's going to win. We all can sit around here and say that this team going to win, this team going to win. And then the next day you say, oh, man, he didn't do this and he's dead. But then you're playing Monday football, quarterback football. But my point is that you don't know who's going to win on Sunday. You just don't know who's going to win on Sunday.
On any given Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, hey, that showed today. I mean, last week the Giants and Jets looked super. This week they look sad. And Kansas City looked super, beating the undefeated Green Bay Packers. And scared.
Yeah, right.
Went big in New York. New England kind of cut the throat of the Denver Broncos, who were still kind of in it. And Cincinnati, who was winging right along, have kind of faltered a little bit. So, like, I mean, it's amazing that we're talking about next week, and the Giants and Jets still have a shot at making the playoffs. And like you said, Harold, on any given Sunday, and you wait around for Monday and see who still has a chance.
Yeah, but you know what, Doc, too? When you look at the Eagles, and since we've been kind of like, breaking down the Eagles and talking about the Eagles today because of how they, you know, their performance. But, you know, hey, you give the Eagles got a decent backup quarterback as well. You know, I mean, he seems to be getting the job done too, Doc, you know?
Well,
so, I mean, that's another thing to look at.
As inconsistent as our buddy from Philadelphia said he was, you know, if nothing else, nothing else, 8 minutes, 51 seconds, 6-for-6 on third down, that big win against the Giants. And right now, you know, they are the team that can wind up winning this division. And I'm going to say that I like their chances. I like their chances big time.
Yeah, me too, because, hey, listen, Doc, look at Jackson. Jackson did a lot. That kid Jackson from Philadelphia, I remember when we first started season, Harold was talking about Philadelphia, like, they look really good. They are a good team on paper, let me tell you. You cannot sleep on them.
Yeah, they got a good defense.
Now
that's what people are overlooking. They got a real good defense. When they're really healthy,
you look back how everybody talked about how they lost to Seattle. Seattle is rocking and rolling, too. Seattle won five, six, four games. They beat the Giants here. What's that old saying? It ain't over till it's over.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what's so exciting about football today. I mean, I heard they signed a contract with the networks and everything for $4 billion in 2023 or something like that. So that shows you right then and there that the football is really alive and everything.
Yeah,
and the networks are paying that kind of money.
And we're about rolling. Real quick, gang, let's just, Larry Harris, get ready to close up. One quick thought, and we'll do it. Give me a winner in the Chavez and Martinez fight, Harold.
I don't even know. If I'm going to take them, I'll take Martinez.
Lady A.
Yeah, Martinez. Come on. Of course. Oh, there's no question
and
about
D-Wing
that.
And D-Wing is gone. Mel Cosell, Martinez, and Chavez.
Yeah, Martinez, too slick, too fast, too crafty.
And hit too hard.
Gang, we're back here. Gang, we're back here next week with a Christmas special. You all are, without question, a year-round Christmas gift. Three thoughts. Live your life today as if December before God tomorrow. Life's no precision. My urgent question is, what are you doing for the service of others because you make your faith your space and earth. And I simply say, trust in God. And as once said, I know that I deserve my enemies, but I doubt if I deserve my spouse. Thank God I got it.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
And gang, with that, we'll be back next week. Let's just all saddle up and vaya con Dios.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Harold. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays, everybody. Bye.
Okay, that worked out all right.
You're ready.
Show your head,
baby. All right.
Show
the head. Keep
it important. Yeah, appreciate that. Oh, so,
hey, just a minute. What we got here? We'll do it tomorrow. I gotta work.
What time you
got to
be here?
Well, I'm leaving here to be looking for a job with Steve tomorrow.
Oh, yeah,
he's coming. I'm trying to tell him. You know, Steve, when he thinks he knows something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't tell them anything, but I told them, I said, they're going to offer me, because even if they fire me, they're going to give me a month's pay.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they can let me go, and I'll get an extra month's pay. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, well, you're still going down, it's quick for you, it's hard for our life. And then I'm next, and I got to go through that whole training bullshit, and then not have any money. Yeah,
man. Yeah, man. All right.
Good to know.
Thanks for joining us.